Our scripture lesson this morning is from Acts 11, chapter or verse 19 through 26, the church at Antioch. So listen for the word of God. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word only among Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's begin with a moment of prayer. Blessed be your great creation, Lord. Thank you for the complexity that we see in it. May you take our words, your word, and bring a simple clarity to our mind. Would you speak to us something we hadn't thought of before today? We're open to hear what you would say. In Jesus' name, amen. Life is full of surprises, and not all of them are good. I was surprised to fly to Florida last Sunday to clean up after a flood. And it wasn't a good surprise. It produced worry and inconvenience for me. Yet once I got there, each day had a new and good surprise. For example, how much we accomplished on the very first day. The sense of teamwork among the neighbors. And the news of coming support from professional mitigation, remediation teams. Life is full of surprises, and not all of them are good. We're beginning a new series called Surprise the World, where we will look at practices that focus on God's mission to others in surprising ways. And we're going to call these surprises missional habits. Today's text is a good one, filled with forward movement for the church. The book of Acts begins with the resurrected Jesus speaking to followers and then continuing through the early years of the church. Jesus gives an assignment before he ascends. In Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, our text hyperlinks back to that verse and that assignment. The bad surprise of Stephen's murder, his martyrdom, causes this outward movement. Jews fled from the city in search of safety. And wherever they went, they talked about their transformative experience with the good news. And Acts 11 gives us some details. They arrive in three cities, Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And they begin spreading the word. Specifically, it says, only among the Jews. Most went to Jewish communities that felt like home. And that makes sense. However, some of them began to speak to the Greeks also. The text has these unnamed men who venture into Antioch and share the good news about Jesus with others. And that's where the action broke out. When these believers stepped out of their comfort zone and talked to people they did not know, people who were not like them, verse 21, the Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. And there's this little phrase, a great number of people, and it's repeated three times in this short account. So something is up in Antioch. News of the outbreak travels back to the church in Jerusalem. And I bet they got excited. I'm picturing this. A great number of people believed, even Greeks. They probably said that to each other. So then the church in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to Antioch to see firsthand what was going on. And we know Barnabas. He's the one that helped Saul right after the conversion on the road to Damascus. And our text describes Barnabas for us. He's described as a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Barnabas arrives. He saw the grace of God in action. He rejoiced, and then he encouraged everyone to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And then, surprise, again, a great number of people were brought to the Lord. God continued to bring people to faith, this time using Barnabas. What a story this is. This is the pivot point in Acts. What started out as a Jewish movement in Jerusalem, led by Peter, is about to become a movement for all people, men and women, rich and poor, Jew and Gentile, moving outward under the leadership of Paul, or Saul, as he is called in this passage. So it caused me to wonder. I wonder, did they expect this to happen, or were they very surprised? I wonder, were they scared to tell the good news to people who were culturally different from them? We don't know. Maybe they went to public places and just struck up conversations. Maybe they were so personally transformed that they couldn't help but speak of what they knew. Or maybe the Holy Spirit nudged them and they were simply faithful to that nudge. It became obvious that God was up to something, because we see this kind of movement to all people in other places. Christmas time, I bring you great news, good news of great joy for all people. Abraham's covenant conversation with God. All people of the earth will be blessed through you. God cares about the diverse and beautiful people of the world. God incarnate became the good news, the happy surprise of God with us. So my summary statement this morning is, we are inclined to stick with people we know. But the Lord calls us to care about people we don't know and who are not like us. The gospel has power for transformation, and sometimes we lose track of that, and we think of Jesus as adding value to our lives, when in reality, it's a total renovation of our hearts. So God's invisible kingdom becomes visible through his people. And this is the actual job of the church, fulfilling God's mission in the world. When Barnabas arrived, he joined in what God was already doing. As the church began, Barnabas knew he needed some help. So he went down to Tarsus, he found Saul and brought him back to Antioch. And for a whole year, together, they worked with the church and taught great numbers of people. That's the third time that language of great numbers shows up. They're emphasizing that in this passage, because this is a picture of church vitality, growing numbers of people being instructed and supported on their individual faith journeys and collectively. Saul and Barnabas worked together because they knew that hard jobs were better with a friend. And something strange was afoot. So strange that the disciples got a new nickname. They were first called Christians in Antioch. So the Christian church is established. God did it. Summary statement two. It's easy to stick with people we don't know, but God calls us to care about people we don't know who are not like us. The power of God draws people to faith, and ministry is best done in partnership. We saw amazing teamwork last Sunday in our new Connections team luncheon. It was hosted up in the library, and 13 people accepted our invitation. and came and found community and connection and toured. It was just great, a team effort. So Antioch is not the only place where the hand of God is at work. Our journey with the Lord can be surprising, joy-filled. It's an adventure that's unlimited, given what God can do. Yet it takes time and care. Paul and Barnabas didn't rush it. They spent the whole year with the church. And the gospel broke through, joy multiplied, and a new church was established. As Christians, we practice our faith in many ways, like corporate worship, fellowship, prayer, Bible study, service to others, time in nature. These are just some of the kinds of habits that help us to grow. And this series is going to suggest five practices specifically focusing our attention on the good news to the world, participating in the Great Commission to go and make disciples. So FYI, mission is not just recruiting people to our brand of religion, but it is announcing and demonstrating the reign of God through Christ in the world. We will call these five practices missional habits. Think of it this way. Missional is a group set to accomplish a task. Missional. Habit is a regular pattern of behavior that, when repeated, becomes involuntary. Habits are powerful. Aristotle said that we are what we repeatedly do. So excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. And the same could be said for our faith. When we repeatedly worship, pray, fellowship, and serve, these practices become habits that grow our faith. And because God reigns over all, we can engage in missional habits that intentionally demonstrate God's love to others in simple ways. One aspect that I love about the idea of surprise the world is that the goal is to stir up questions because we act in unexpected ways. If our main Christian habits are going to church and attending meetings, we are not going to stir up curiosity around our faith. Michael Frost, the author of the book Surprise the World, says this: "Evangelistic mission works effectively when we are living generous, hospitable, spirit-led, Christ-like lives as missionaries in our own neighborhoods. And then when gifted evangelists in our midst join us in sharing Christ with our neighbors." This is what we see in the Acts 11 story. People go to a new place, they share their experience, the Holy Spirit moves, and many come to believe in Christ. And then it happens within the church as well, because Barnabas brings Saul, and together they spend a whole year encouraging and teaching the people. The rise of the unchurched and the dechurched people in the West has added to a debate between two different models of ministry. Maybe you've heard of this: attractional versus missional. Attractional has been very big in the past. Attractional says, come to our church, come see our programs, our music, our pastor. And missional is what we see here in Acts. Mission says, let's go to them, let's sit on their porch, talk at the ball field, linger in a coffee shop. Relationship opens the way to a path for faith. So in simplest terms, attractional is come and see, and missional is go and be. And these different approaches drive different outcomes. Come and see drives performance, comparison, and church shopping. Go and be grows slowly, relationally, with no expectations of results other than trusting the Holy Spirit to guide. Attractional is a good model. It is great for people looking for a good church home. Missional is desperately needed in a post-Christian culture where church participation is largely unknown and unvalued. Where missional gets exciting is around the idea of surprise. A surprise, by its very definition, is unexpected. I mentioned earlier good surprises and bad surprises. No one likes a bad surprise, and many of us, including me, don't even like good surprises, especially if we're unprepared for them. But in general, a good surprise raises our spirits. The grocery line moves quicker than we expect. The drive-through order, our drive-through order, gets paid by the car in front of us. The meeting with the boss is not about criticism, but praise. It's the goodness of God that draws people. 1 Peter 3:13, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Can we be eager to do good and have a reason ready? When we focus on doing good for others, questions arise. Then we answer from what we know. Our hope comes from this experience with Jesus. We operate differently with gentleness and respect, offering people real, genuine acceptance and unconditional love. And this evokes questions from people. It leads to conversations about important matters of the heart. Simply put, we surprise the world. Last week in Florida, I offered to have my husband and son move a queen bed out of the condo of our neighbor. Now, she was telling me how excited she was because she had just arranged to sleep in a second floor unit that was empty. And she insisted that she didn't want us to trouble us. Even though the bed needed to go, she didn't want to trouble us. I replied that we'd be happy to help. And it took some insisting, but the guys moved the bed out, which allowed us to discover that what else she needed was somewhere to store the stuff that had been stored in damaged furniture. So we were able to give her three unused, unneeded shelving units that she could move that stuff in, helping her with her cleanup. Finally, I asked, and I was a little intimidated, could I pray for her? She immediately agreed and afterwards told me that she wished she had friends near her that would want to talk about God. She was touched, and a simple moment of good news reminded her that God sees her, He loves her, and He's going to provide. So surprise the world is about living in such a way that you bless people and connect with them from a place of responsiveness and authentic friendship. But if we live questionable lives, we can't be super predictable. Unpredictability is what produces curiosity. The stereotype of Christians in our day has become somewhat predictable. On the good side, we expect Christians to give to charitable causes, to live upstanding middle-class lives, and to be nice and helpful. Think of Ned Sanders in The Simpsons. Predictable, not surprising, not necessarily inspiring. On the bad side, Christians are negatively stereotyped as argumentative, always assuming that they're right. Judgmental, condemning whole groups of people. Hypocritical, presenting themselves in one way and actually hiding stuff. What does it say about the times we live in when basic goodness is unexpected and surprising? We're people called to be generous, respectful, humble, kind, wise. What if we reject both stereotypes, the good and the bad, and instead grew to be people who were intriguing, alert, adventurous, and joyful? We'd be free to risk rejection and focus outwardly. It would be amazing. We could become a church of ordinary people set out to announce and demonstrate the reign of God through Christ without having to be something that we are not or something less than we want to be. That's what Surprise the World is all about. There are unlimited ways to surprise people with the goodness of God. The world is not well, but the kingdom comes. So remember, we are not selling a membership to a club. We are announcing the goodness of God in word and deed. So if this topic interests you, there are two ways to engage deeper. One would be to join one of our conversation groups. There's 3 sign-up sheets in the lobby. The second is to pick up a copy of Michael Frost's book. We have some of them in the gathering space. And if not those two, just tune in next Sunday for the first missional habit, which is generosity. Life is full of surprises, and the good news of Jesus Christ should be one of them. So like the good Presbyterian pastor, Mr. Rogers, may we be ones who bring good news to the people that we meet when we're walking down the street, the people that we meet each day. Amen.